Well, let me say good evening, everybody. I need a little bit more than that. Come on. Amen. There you go. It's evening, hopefully. You've had a dose of coffee. I hear root beer is coming after service, hot dogs after service. What a joy it is to be with you on this day to celebrate our God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I look forward to the pulpit exchange each time we get the opportunity to do it so that all of us can be reminded that we should have a greater commitment to the big C church than we do to the small C churches. Because after all, Jesus is coming back for one church and not multiple churches. Amen? Amen. So it's a good reminder that we're part of one larger body of Christ, and we have the privilege of serving together and working together and laboring together to expand the kingdom of God in Central Illinois for His glory and His honor. So I thank God for the opportunity to share with your pastor, Pastor Jim Powell, and Pastor John King of Riverside, and just to be with you and to fellowship with you today. Pleasure to hang out with Jason, amen, and get to see him, and looking forward to get to know him and growing in relationship with him, and then to be able to share the word with you on tonight. Now, for those of you who know me, you know that me staying within the framework that they've provided for me tonight for video purposes is going to be a challenge. So I solicit your prayers on the front end, amen, that I can cooperate with the video staff because I really want to do that so that we can have quality video. But I want to invite your attention this evening to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. I want to read 8 verses from John chapter 15. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And I want to ask you to highlight some things after we read so that, as my mentor would say, even if I don't preach a good sermon, you'll know that this is a good passage. So in John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, the word of the Lord reads, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." I would just encourage you to make note of verse 1. The first part, "I am the true vine." Also, verse 5, "I am the vine." Verse 2, make note of bear fruit, bear fruit, bear more fruit. Verse 4, bear fruit. Verse 5, bear much fruit. Verse 4, make note of abide, abides, abide. Verse 5, abide in me. Verse 6, abide in me. Verse 7, abide in me. What's very clear from the passage as we look, we note very clearly, if you don't mind, that there is, as Jesus shares this passage, there's a vine dresser or husbandman, and he says that's the Father. Very clearly, Jesus says he is the vine and we are the what? Thank you very much. We are the branches. This series has been entitled A Self-Portrait. A self-portrait, basically Jesus giving a self-portrait of himself. Many of us may not be as familiar with self-portraits as we are with selfies. Some would say that selfies have been around since as early as the 15th century, where people started doing self-portraits. What's interesting about self-portraits in the early days is often they would do what we call photobombing. So they would actually insert themselves into a place or into a crowd or into a space. We would call it photobombing, but they called it a self-portrait. They insert themselves into a place. We think of selfies where we just pull out our camera, we take a picture, maybe we're hanging out with our friends or spending time with our family, and we take a photo smiling, and then we say, here is where we are. A selfie, typically we don't put much thought into it. It's spare of the moment. It's something that we want to capture, something that we may want to remember, but there's not much intentionality to it. But when you think about a self-portrait back in the day, originally when they would do self-portraits, they would spend a lot of time as an artist thinking about, what do I want those who will see this portrait to think about? How do I want them to feel? How do I want them to encounter the self-portrait? There was a great deal of intentionality as it relates to a self-portrait, different from a selfie. And when you think about a self-portrait and intentionality, a great deal of purpose going into that self-portrait. They would think about what they wanted to communicate and what they wanted people to walk away with, to take away from that experience. And now apply that to John chapter 15, but not just John chapter 15. Apply that to all of the statements that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John. These bold statements that are filled with intentionality, bold statements that are filled with purpose, bold statements where, as the listener would hear Jesus make the statement, Jesus' intent is that they walk away with something. He would make a connection point with something that they are familiar with and then reveal himself in the midst of that which they're familiar with so that now they can understand him. And it is here in John chapter 15 that we focus on this last I am statement that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John. But in order to understand the significance of it, we need to pay attention to where this statement falls. For as you look at the Gospel of John, it's an interesting gospel. John is very intentional in how he lays out the gospel. He's laying out a series of events. He highlights some signs initially that he wants people to understand. And then he makes these bold statements that Jesus has made about himself. And as you look at the Gospel of John, what you'll discover is that the Gospel of John, if you separate John 20 and 21, the Gospel of John, 19 chapters separate from those last two are about 697 verses. And yet, when we look at where we're focusing in on chapter 15, it falls in this farewell discourse, this time where Jesus spends his last few hours with the disciples before he goes to the cross, this time where he wants to prepare them for him not being with them and prepare them for the work that is to go on after his departure. He makes this bold statement about, I am the true vine, in this farewell statement, this farewell address that takes up 257 verses of the 697 verses. It's important for him to make these statements in the farewell address. And in this space, Jesus says, I am the true vine. What is Jesus trying to communicate to his disciples? What is he trying to communicate to his followers? And what is he trying to communicate to us? What is he trying to reveal about who he is so that they might understand it and walk away from it with a greater insight and understanding of the person and work of Jesus Christ? Pay attention. Jesus makes a statement. I am the true vine. As you look at John chapter 15, I believe the first thing that Jesus highlights when he makes this statement is Jesus says, I'm the real deal. He says, I am the true vine. Why would he insert true? Why wouldn't he, just like he did in verse 5, just say, I am the vine? He inserts true vine because he wants them to understand that he is the true vine in contrast to the vine that has come before. You see, in the Old Testament, there was a vine that God used, that God raised up. The nation of Israel, Psalm number 80 highlights the nation of Israel as the vine of God. But as you read Psalm 80, you discover that the nation of Israel, as the vine of God, even though God worked and God labored and God tried to use them, they ended up being fruitless. You see, in Isaiah chapter 5, when God talks about Israel as his vine, again, God as the vine dresser has labored with the soil. He's worked with his nation, and yet again, they end up fruitless. They don't accomplish the purpose that God has intended for them to accomplish. So Jesus comes on the scene, and he says, you know what? I need you to know that I am the true vine. Where Israel has failed the Father, I will not fail. Where Israel has shown itself to be fruitless, I will be fruitful. Where Israel has failed to fulfill the purpose that God intended for them, that they would reveal God to the world, that through them, the world and nations would know the true and living God. Jesus says, where they failed, I will be successful. He wants his disciples to understand that he's the real deal, that he's not a counterfeit, that he's not a fake, and that he's not a phony. And I know many of us, most of us don't have any experience with anything that's counterfeit. Most of us don't have any experience with counterfeit money. Most of us don't have any experience with counterfeit items, like knockoff items, items that have legitimate names on them but didn't come from a legitimate company. We don't have experience in that space. But if you've ever gotten something that's counterfeit, and you thought it was the real deal, when you discovered it was not, you were disappointed. And Jesus wants the disciples to know that he's the real deal, that he is the true vine, that they can place all of their hope in him because he will not fail. And he wants us to know that he's the real deal, that he is the true vine, that we can place all of our hope in him because he will not fail. He will accomplish what the Father intends for him to accomplish, not just in the world, but even in our lives. Jesus says, I'm the real deal. I'm the true vine. Not only does he say, I'm the real deal, I'm the true vine, but look at the self-portrait. Jesus reveals that as the true vine, he is the Father's representative. As you look back at the other six I am statements, you notice in those I am statements, Jesus doesn't mention the Father. He just talks about, I'm the light of the world. I am the bread of heaven. He just talks about who he is. I am the way, the truth, the life, right? He just talks about who he is, but he doesn't insert the Father. He doesn't make a connection with the Father. But in this passage, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. He says, I want you to know as followers of mine that I am the representative of the Father. We see that weave throughout this farewell address because he's going to talk about the Father's work and talk about sending a comforter, John chapter 14. And then he's going to talk about being able to go back and be with the Father, John 17. He makes it very clear that he is the representative of the Father, that the Father is working in partnership with him and he is working in partnership with the Father. He says, I'm the representative of the Father. I know he's used some other things in the past, and I know he's used some other people in the past. The Hebrew writer says that God in past times has spoken to us through the prophets, but now he has ultimately spoken to us through his Son, who is the express image of himself. Jesus says, I'm the representative of the Father, and because I'm in partnership with the Father is working. He's involved in this process, and look at what he does. The Father, as the vine dresser, he's doing some cutting. Those branches that are not producing fruit, he's cutting away. Those branches that are producing fruit but could produce more fruit, he's pruning, he's cutting. The Father is cutting. Either way, you're going to get cut. But make sure it's the Father who does the cutting. See, Jesus says, I am the Father's representative. I represent the Father. I'm working in partnership with the Father, and I want to encourage you as my disciples, please allow the Father to do his work, and don't you try to do his work. So if I was at home, I would tell our people, put your knives away. Because sometimes in the body of Christ, we try to work on the Father's branches. We look at other people's lives, and as we assess their lives, we don't think that they are amounting to what we think they should amount to, so we start cutting on them because we think we're the vine dresser. Jesus says, no, I'm working in partnership with the Father, and he is the vine dresser. Allow him to do his job. Don't try to take on his role. Let him function in his space, and let me work in partnership with him. Jesus says, please know I'm the representative of the Father. And as the Father is working to do his job, notice the goal, verse 2 and 3, is fruit. The goal is bearing fruit. So Jesus says, I'm the real deal. I'm the representative of the Father. But then he also communicates this important note. He says, I am the vine. I'm the life source. See, Jesus makes it very clear that as the true vine, he is the life source. Think about a vine and what it does. A vine supplies the nourishment and the nutrients so that fruit can come forth. Jesus says, I am the life source. Everything you need will come from me. It won't come from outside of me. It will come from me. I will supply that which you need for you to be all that the Father has called you to be. All I'm asking you to do is to abide, to remain, to stay connected. What does it mean to abide? Well, it does mean to remain. It means to be connected, but I think it also means to allow the vine to have total access to us. To allow the vine to do what he's supposed to do, which is supply us that which we need. To allow the vine, the true vine, to supply us from his word, that which we need for our minds to be changed. To allow the vine to supply us that which we need for our emotions to be regulated. To allow the vine to be the vine and supply us that which we need. It means to give him total access. Oftentimes when we have company, we tell them a phrase, and when we say the phrase, we mean it within a certain context. We don't mean the phrase literally, and because everybody knows we don't mean the phrase literally, very seldom do they take it literally. We have company over, and we say this phrase to them. We say, make yourselves at home. When we say make yourselves at home, we don't literally mean go into my bedroom and put your feet on my bed. We don't literally mean go into the refrigerator and take out whatever you want and start cooking and treat. Go into all of my secret places. Go into the restroom and go open up the closet and see where I stuff in because I knew you were coming over. We don't literally mean that. We really mean stay where I set you and don't go anywhere else. And oftentimes when we connect with Jesus, instead of allowing him total access to every area of our life, we say to Jesus, stay where I set you. I know you're the vine, and I know I need you to supply so that my mind will be changed in every area. I know I need you to supply so that my behavior will be changed. I know I need you to supply so my emotions will be regulated. I know I need that from you, but that's not really what I'm asking of you right now. Right now, I just want you to stay on Sunday or stay on Saturday or stay in the morning, not in the afternoon. The afternoon, I'll take care of that. I just need you in the morning, Jesus. I just need you at night, Jesus. Jesus says, no, as the vine, I am your life source. And anytime you attempt to operate outside of me or apart from me, you won't be successful. Anytime you attempt to operate outside of my strength, you'll discover how weak you are. Anytime you attempt to operate outside of my wisdom, you'll discover how foolish you are. He says, whatever you do, rely on me as your life source. Become dependent. Isn't that so hard to function totally dependent on anybody? Isn't it a challenge sometimes? I remember when I was a child, I couldn't wait to grow up. Man, I wanted to grow up. I want to grow up, and I want to be able to go to bed when I want to go to bed. And I want to be able to eat whatever I want to eat. And I don't want anybody to be able to tell me what to eat. I want to be independent. And then I grew up. And I go to bed earlier than I did when I was a kid. eat less than I did when I was a kid. I thought independence would be a great thing. I've discovered that dependence is a beautiful thing. Jesus says, I am your life source. Can you learn to just be dependent upon me for everything? Not everything, Jesus. Yeah. Everything. But you know, Jesus, I went to school to do what I do every day on my job, so I don't really think I need you there. No, can you learn to be dependent upon me for everything? Well, Jesus, you know, I'm on my second kid, and I think I figured it out with the first one. So I don't really think I need you in parenting. I think I got this figured out. No, I need you to be dependent upon me in everything. But Jesus, I've been dealing with people all of my adult life, so I know how to deal with people. I can pretty much read people and assess people, and I know by the time they walk up to me what to expect from them and how to interact with them. No. No, Jesus says, no, I need you to depend upon me for everything, for every interaction, for every conversation, for every lesson. I need you to look to me as if to say, Jesus, what do you want us to say? Oh, that's what you want me to say? Okay, all right. All right, Jesus, here it is. Jesus, what would you have for me to do? Oh, that's what you want me to do? Okay, Jesus, here it is. Jesus says, I am your life source. So what I want to ask you to do is to stay connected to me. But then Jesus reveals in this passage that he's the one who bears fruit. So since he's the one who bears fruit, we should let him do his job. Jesus says, if you abide in me, then here's what will happen. You will bear fruit. Wait a minute, Jesus. You mean by abiding in you, a natural byproduct of learning to rely upon you, to depend upon you, to allow your word to inform my thinking and my attitude and my behavior and my emotions. A natural byproduct of that is that I will be fruitful. A natural byproduct of that is that I will have the joy and the peace that you describe. A natural byproduct of that is that I will have peace. All I have to do is stay connected to you. Jesus says, yes, bearing fruit is my job, not your job. And I need somebody to hear that this evening. Jesus says, bearing fruit is his responsibility, not your responsibility. I worked in social work for about 5 years, and while I was in social work at the time, one of the things that we worked to do with children who had troubled lives and things of that nature was to do behavior modification. So we teach them various skills and techniques so that they could try to modify their behavior on their own. And it was so frustrating for the children because we never really dealt with the root issues that were driving the behaviors. We just wanted them to modify their behaviors so their teachers could feel better, modify their behaviors so their foster parents could feel better, modify their behavior so we as caseworkers and therapists could feel better. We were doing behavior modification, not transformation. And oftentimes in the body of Christ, we give our lives to Christ and we try to spend all of our energy doing our own behavior modification program. We do our own sin management program. It's like if I can just do less of this sin, Jesus, in my own power, I'm going to be okay. And I can stand head above the other Christians to be able to say, but I don't do that. And I don't do that. No, Jesus says, no, here's what I need you to do. I need you to just abide in me. And as you abide in me, here's what you'll discover. I'll address those issues. As you draw close to me, as you spend time with me, as you get into my word, and as you grow in your love for me and your worship of me, here's what will happen. I'll begin to transform you from the inside out. Wait a minute. You mean Jesus' performance is not my objective? No. Performance is not my objective. Abiding is my objective. You mean, Jesus, I need to spend all of my energy just focusing on being in tune with you constantly, and you'll do the rest? Yes. Spend all of your energy and focus on just being in tune with me constantly and allow me to do the rest. Jesus communicates in this powerful analogy that he is the one who bears the fruit. Because after all, just think of the analogy. I'm the vine. I'm the one supplying the nutrients. I'm the one supplying the nourishment. I supply what you need, and you are the branch. You're attached to me, but you're not producing anything. The only role you have is to hold what I've produced. You're to put on display the work that I've been doing through you, because it's not your work. Jesus basically says, disciples, if you let me do my job and you do your job, you'll discover you'll be a whole lot more productive. And what a word for the body of Christ today. If we would just allow Jesus to do his job and we do our job of abiding, we'll discover that we'll be a whole lot more productive. So Jesus says, if you abide in me, here's what will happen. Fruit will naturally happen, and fruit will happen in its time and not your time or my time. Here's the final thing Jesus says that I'll share, and then I'll be done. Jesus says, please understand that I'm the key to the Father being glorified. Jesus says, as you abide in me, here's what's going to happen. You're going to bear fruit. Not just bear fruit, you're going to bear much fruit, depending on your translation, more fruit. You're going to bear fruit. As you abide in me, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be able to ask in your prayers, and I'm going to grant it, because now as you're abiding in me, you're asking based on what pleases me and not what pleases you, because the closer you get to me, the more concerned you are about pleasing me and the less concerned you are about pleasing you. So the more you begin to pray things that will please me, even if they don't please you. So when you pray the things that will please me, I answer those kind of prayers. And Jesus says, here's how my Father is going to be glorified. By you bearing fruit and demonstrating that you are my disciples, proving, putting on display that you are my disciples. Jesus is the key to the Father being glorified. How so? Well, Jesus is the key to the Father being glorified because Jesus is the one who allows us to bear fruit. Not only is Jesus the one who allows us to bear fruit, but as we're abiding in him, Jesus says, you will demonstrate or prove that you are my disciples. Well, let's think for a moment. What is a disciple? A disciple is a student. A disciple is a learner. A disciple is an imitator. But when you think about a disciple in the day, a disciple wanted to imitate the master, a student of the master, a learner of the master. So a disciple wanted to talk like their master and walk like their master and interact like their master. So if the master would walk with a limp, a disciple of that particular master would want to walk with a limp because they want to do everything just like their master. If the master stuttered, then the disciple would want to stutter because they want to do everything like their master, so that when you saw the disciple or the student, you were actually seeing the master, because the student or the disciple spent all of their time and their energy trying to imitate or duplicate the life of the master. Jesus says, you will prove or demonstrate, put on display that you are my disciples. So that when people interact with you, they'll realize, wait a minute, you sound like that Jesus dude. When they interact with you and they see that you're loving to those who are unlovable, they say, wait a minute, I remember that Jesus guy doing stuff like this. When they interact with you and they realize that you're not as concerned about religion as you are relationship, they'll say, man, wait a minute, I remember that Jesus guy doing stuff like this. He says, your lives will so reflect my lives that people will see me at work in you. And that's when the Father gets glory. The Father gets glory by you bearing fruit that resembles who I am, character and conduct that looks like Jesus. The Father gets glory when people can see your lives that reflect the character and the conduct of Christ. That's when God is glorified. So the question becomes, how much of Jesus do people see in us? When people see us and interact with us, would they say, you remind me more of Jesus, or you remind me more of those other guys, those Pharisees, those religious leaders. When people hear us talk, and we're talking about political issues, or they hear us talk and we're talking about social issues, do they say, you sound a lot like Jesus, or you sound like someone else? You see, Jesus says when we abide in him, it transforms every part of who we are. And we prove, we put on display, we demonstrate that we are his followers. We bear fruit and the Father receives glory. And what a great reminder that it's about the Father getting glory. So I was away a couple of weeks ago near my hometown. I was in St. Louis area, and while I was there, I was taking my son to a football camp, which is what we do a lot in the summertime. And while there, I ran into a gentleman that I didn't remember, but he remembered me. And he was standing, and he was talking to his son. I was standing, I was talking to my son, and then he kind of looked up, and he said, Devereaux! And I said, hey! You know the hey when you don't know. Hey! You know? He said, you don't remember who I am, do you? I said, nope. Don't have a clue who you are, right? And he looked at me, he said, man, I'm Scooby. I said, Scooby? Okay. He said, man, I'm Mother Samuelton's grandson. I said, oh, Scooby, what's up, man? I said, how did you know it was me? He said, man, that's easy. You look just like your daddy. I said, oh. It was a reminder to me. I think I look pretty nice. But I can't take credit for it. Because everything about me, I get from my daddy. See, Jesus says, when you bear fruit, and when you demonstrate you are my disciples, that's just me being at work in you. And because I'm the one working in you, and I'm the one working through you, and it's all my work, whatever you do, please don't take credit for it. Because it's my work that the Father might be glorified. Jesus says at the end of the day, I don't want people to pat you on the back. I don't even want people to celebrate Richwoods, Riverside, or St. Paul. At the end of the day, I want you to see me at work in you so that the Father might be glorified. My prayer for us this month, this week, even this evening, is that we would slow down enough to abide in Jesus, that we would stop performing and feeling the pressure to perform, that we would get off the spiritual treadmill where we're running, utilizing all of our energy, wearing ourselves out for Jesus, and we would just draw close to Jesus and just love him again and grow in him because of our love for him and surrender to him afresh. And allow him to just work through us so that we might be able to bear fruit and demonstrate that we are his disciples, that the Father might be glorified. Let's bow together. Father, I pray even now. I know there are times in my life when I get distracted trying to produce and perform instead of just abiding. So I pray even now that you would bless each of these, my brothers and my sisters, that they would not get distracted by trying to produce and perform, but just learn to rest in you, Jesus, to connect with you, to allow your word to abide in them, to allow you to transform our thinking, to transform our actions and our attitudes so that people might see you in us, that we might be able to bear fruit that reflects the character and the conduct of Christ, and the Father might be glorified.
That's our simple request this evening. So be glorified now. Amen.